Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, what does it mean? Struggling to find meaning or motivation in your life or relationships? We're here to help you find your way. Give us a call. We'll talk it out.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone, and a happy Monday to you. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak, and we are so glad to be back with you. We are charged up. We took a week of staycation to kind of blow the dust off of, you know, everything that's been monotonous, which is part of what we're talking about today. And we got some rest, and we are raring to talk to you again and be with you today. We're so looking forward to it.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825, and we will help you get your motivation back. If there are certain things going on in your life or relationships that are making you feel a little burned out, run down, tired of dealing with this particular person or situation, we are here to help, because we're talking about how to get, hold on to, and reclaim that meaning and motivation in all the stuff you do, which can be hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to help. Again, the number is 877-573-7825, especially on this Monday. You know, Mondays tend to be a little bit more difficult for folks. And maybe you like us are coming back from a vacation or a staycation, and you're having a hard time getting the mojo working. We are here to help you get your motivation back and face those people or situations that do tend to make you feel a little on the burned out side. Burnout is effort minus meaning. Think about that for a second. If you're feeling burned out, it's not so much because of the things that you're doing. It's because you've lost a sense of meaning or purpose for those things that you're doing. Or you're doing those things in a way that undermines the meaning or purpose God wants you to get out of them. Either way, burnout isn't caused so much by the stuff we do as it is the approach we take to the stuff we do, or what we tell ourselves about the stuff that we do.
Oh, but isn't it hard sometimes to tell ourselves anything different? And I think that almost everyone, I will not speak for the unique few, but almost everyone in the last, yes, ladies and gentlemen, 6 months of the pandemic has felt this at one time or another, or perhaps are feeling it even more now. Just sort of the COVID blahs, the how do I move on with this? How do I plan anything? How do I do anything? I just can't. It's just sapping everybody's energy in one way or another at some point or another. And of course, because this is a global show and a global pandemic, everybody's dealing with it in different ways at different times in different places, and it keeps shifting. So we're dealing with that, but we're also dealing with just life gets like that. You know, life just kind of sometimes gets a little disconnected from the meaning in our lives, from what gives us that sense of knowing who we are in Christ and what our meaning is. And so we're here to help you with that. If you're finding that's happening in the entirety of your life, or one area, one relationship, with one person, with one thing you have to handle, and you're just not sure how to get the energy or the meaning back, give us a call today if you're having experiences with that at 877-573-7825. That's 877 573 573-7825. And as I said, we're back live today, so give us a call.
You know, every day on the show, our kind of mission, if you will, is to unpack practical lessons from St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And the Theology of the Body, it really teaches us how to think about ourselves and our relationships in light of God's grace. And the TOB has a lot to teach us about getting meaning back and fighting burnout.
It really does. And in this particular case, it reminds us that, as Bishop Fulton Sheen famously put it, every moment is pregnant with divine purpose.
Ooh, I like your impersonation.
It's terrible. But you can't say anything that he said in a normal voice, because he had that voice. But especially when we get tired or frustrated, we have a tendency to just go through the motions in our life or our relationships. We don't want to deal with it. So we mentally check out and then just count the seconds until things are that we're doing are done. Right? But when that happens, we lose our sense of meaning and purpose, and everything begins to feel like a burden.
That's right. And as I said, burnout then is effort minus meaning. You know, before the fall, Adam and Eve were created because the soil needed to be tilled. It says so in Genesis. And they were thrilled to work in the garden of the Lord. They rejoiced in both their efforts and the fruit that those efforts produced. But after the fall, Genesis tells us that work became toil. Well, what's the difference? Well, toil is the work we do when we feel burned out. Where godly work is meaningful, toil feels pointless. Where godly work promotes creativity, toil promotes stagnation. Where godly work produces fruit, toil produces frustration. And when I say work, I don't just mean like the work we do for a check.
Of course not. It can be anything we do. What's springing to my mind is that I, and probably every other mom on the planet, has those days. There are some days with your little ones, when you're raising tiny ones, where you're like, oh, this is great. Oh, look what they're learning today. Oh, this is very edifying. And then there are other days where you are counting the very slow-moving seconds until bedtime for your kids. Just like, please let them go to sleep. Please, so I can do anything that gives me some sense of who I am. Please let them go to sleep. And every moment of that day becomes toil.
Well, and that can also be true for any relationship. I talk to lots of couples all day who feel like their marriage is toil, just a lot of meaningless effort that produces no fruit. Or their relationship with their family is toil, because it's a lot of meaningless effort that produces no fruit. But the Theology of the Body reminds us that when we're feeling burned out, it's either because we've forgotten the larger point of what we're doing and why we're doing it, or because we're doing whatever we're doing in a manner that's undermining our ability to connect with God and be our best selves. So overcoming burnout in our life or relationships means finding ways to reconnect with both the divine purpose hidden behind all the stuff we do all day, and by taking an approach that God wants us to take to fulfill that purpose. Easier said than done, though, and we're here to help you to connect the dots. Give us a call at 877-573-7825, and we'll talk you through how to get that motivation and meaning back into your life and relationships, especially where you're feeling a little bit run down, burned out, or just plain tired of dealing with that thing or that person. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring you all the joys and challenges of this week. And we particularly bring to you all those things that we just don't want to deal with, those people that we're tired of dealing with, and those situations that cause us to feel a little burned out. We ask you to help us to find meaning in all of those situations, all of those encounters with others. Help us to remember the divine purpose for which you put us in those situations or with those people. Help us to approach those frustrating and difficult people and situations in a way that enables us to stay connected to you and be our best selves, so that even in the face of our frustrations and challenges and ups and downs of the week, we can always remember to glorify you in everything we do. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Also, I just want to ask if we could all just pray for a moment for Pope Benedict, who I understand, based on news reports, is feeling very poorly. He's seriously ill at this point. So the USCCB is asking for prayers. So we just ask the Lord to bless Pope Emeritus Benedict, that he would give him comfort and grace in this time of suffering and bring him home
in God's time.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We are taking your calls today on More to Life about dealing with burnout on our show titled, What Does It Mean? As we help you find the meaning and motivation in your life and relationships to really respond well to the challenges you face. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Laura, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado.
Hey there, Laura. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, thank you. I'm going through some mental health troubles, and I just was wondering, I think I would benefit from a therapist that knows God, and I was just wondering the difference between a therapist that doesn't and a therapist that does.
So in general, the difference between a therapist who kind of brings faith into counseling versus one who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. Somebody, I'm Catholic, and somebody who's a Catholic therapist and somebody who's not.
Okay.
I've talked to priests and stuff, and it seems like it helps. And the therapists that don't know God and that don't bring in, I don't know that they know God or not. I shouldn't say that. But
they don't necessarily bring God into the session.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about that. And we'll also talk a little bit about the difference between talking about your problems with a priest versus talking about your problems with a counselor, and then talk a little bit about the difference between, say, secular counseling and Christian or Catholic counseling.
But Laura, I really want to commend you on your intuition. Your intuition here is right on, where you're saying you just feel like somebody who knows God and can bring that into the session could be really beneficial to you. So you're already intuiting that you need a good professionally trained counselor, but you're kind of aching for that component of, well, when I talk to a priest and I can really bring God into what my struggles are, then I can really put all the pieces together to help overcome those struggles as quickly as possible. So your intuition is perfect on this, Laura.
Yeah, that's great. So let's talk about the difference between discussing your problems with your pastor or a priest in general versus a counselor, because they're both important, but they are different things. Imagine for a moment that you had a broken arm or a broken leg, okay? And you would want to talk to your pastor about that, because maybe you'd want to receive anointing of the sick, for example. You'd want him to at least pray for you, or make sure that you were included in the intentions for masses, and those kinds of things, to get the spiritual support you needed to assist you in the physical healing, right? But you'd still go to your doctor or to a physical therapist to be able to build up the physical strength that you needed to get your range of motion and your mobility back, right? If you had that broken arm or broken leg. They are both important, but they play different roles. Well, things get a little bit confusing with psychotherapy because it's the talking cure, right? And you're talking to your pastor versus talking to a counselor. What's the difference? Well, research really shows that with modern approaches to counseling, especially things like cognitive behavior therapy, solution-focused therapy, those kinds of things, when we use brain imaging, we see that people who use the techniques that their therapist teaches them, especially if they're going to somebody who's a cognitive behavior therapist, solution-focused therapist, a therapist that gives you stuff to do, gives you exercises to work on, for example, between sessions, you're actually doing physical work to rewire how your brain functions. So it's not just talking to somebody who's supportive. That's always a good thing. But it's more than that. It's going to a therapist is very much like going to a physical therapist. You're learning exercises to help rewire the way your brain thinks. So that's the difference between talking about your problems with your pastor, who can be a good supportive relational and spiritual support to you, versus talking to a therapist in general who is going to give you techniques and things to do between session that help rewire the way your brain processes stress, thinks about problems, and identifies solutions. All right. Let's now do to the second part of the question, which is, what's the difference between, say, a secular therapist and a Christian counselor or a Catholic therapist? I would say that in general, you want to find the best, most competent therapist you can find, regardless of what their faith background is, first of all. Because it is a science, and it is an art, and you want to work with a person who is really competent, who has tools to give you, right? That said, if you have two therapists who are equally competent, and one does not have a faith, and the other one does have a faith and knows how to bring that into session, and especially if they are Catholic, I would choose the Catholic therapist, and here's why. Because every therapist, whether they admit it or not, has an idea in their mind of what a healthy person looks like.
Yeah, whether they admit or even acknowledge it in themselves, that's just this case. They have to have a platform they're starting from so they have an end goal of where they're going with their client.
That's right. And so that's what they're trying to nudge you toward. A secular person is going to have a very different idea of what a healthy person looks like than a Catholic person will. So, for example, a secular therapist might say to a married couple, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with watching pornography, because if it just, you know, if it helps your physical relationship, why not? Whereas a Catholic therapist would say, we've got to find a different way to do that. Because watching pornography undermines...
To make it healthier and holier, and to bring your mind into a better place with God and your spouse. Sure.
So that you're building intimacy with each other instead of using something that is beneath you that's undermining your dignity and the dignity of your marriage.
That's just one example.
One of many. All right. So, or a Catholic therapist would be able to help you integrate spiritual resources into your treatment and healing, whereas a secular therapist might even be allergic to discussing any kind of spiritual topics in counseling. You know, so again, you want to find the therapist who has the best tools and the best training to help you, but given the choice between a therapist who has great tools and isn't faithful and a therapist who has great tools and is, I would pick the faithful therapist every time, because they both have the tools and the idea of what a healthy person looks like that coincides with what your faith is telling you a healthy person looks like. So you're singing from the same sheet of music as well. Research really consistently shows that therapists have a tendency to rate therapy as more successful when the client comes to see things the way they do, in terms of their worldview. And so again, you know, making sure that you're working with a therapist who actually shares your worldview and can help you live that worldview more effectively is really important. So Jill, I hope that gives you some things to think about as you're trying to decide how to be a good consumer of the mental health services in your area, and what role pastors can play versus therapists, what role secular counselors versus pastoral counselors can play. If you'd like to work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor, you can contact us at catholiccounselors.com to learn more about our telecounseling services, or if your pastor would like to refer you to somebody local in your area, by all means follow up with that. But these will at least give you some distinctions that you can keep in mind as you're looking for the best help available to you. Thanks for the call, Jill. And if there's more we can do to support, or excuse me, Laura. Thank you, Laura. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. We are taking your calls here on More to Life about dealing with burnout and the struggle that we have to kind of stay motivated and find meaning, even when our life and relationships are kind of wearing us out. Do you have a situation that you're tired of dealing with? A person that you're just burned out having to manage? Or some stressful event that is just wearing you down? We want to help you get your motivation and meaning back. Let's talk it out at 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Jacob Popchak, who is an associate pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He'll be sharing some insights from the theology of the body on how to recapture your sense of motivation, especially when you're feeling burned out. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Get more information on today's guest and download the program from the Ave Maria Radio website, avemariaradio.net. And when your local radio signal is out of reach, listen live on the Ave Maria Radio app.
I wrote a new book called Wheat and Tares as a way to approach the sexual abuse crisis by clergy in the Catholic Church. I hope that this book would be something that came out of my prayer for a lot of months and would be able to help inform your prayer.
Wheat and Tares, Restoring the Moral Vision of a Scandalized Church by Father Mitch Pacwa. Now available at EWTNRC.com.
Support for Ave Maria programming comes in part by CatholicCounselors.com. Self-help resources and support from Catholic telecounselors from the privacy of home. CatholicCounselors.com, helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today's show is titled, What Does It Mean? As we talk about dealing with burnout, which is basically effort minus meaning. Do you feel like you've been going through the motions lately? Maybe feeling a little burned out, run down, or tired of dealing with a particular person or challenging situation? We want to help you get your motivation back. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Jacob Popchak. He is a pastoral counseling associate with CatholicCounselors.com. He's an expert on the theology of the body, an author and an illustrator. His latest children's book is God the Father and the Best Day Ever. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you wanted to talk about the idea of, well, where meaning actually comes from. We're feeling burned out and we're losing that sense of meaning. Where do we begin to get it from?
Well, in my experience, both clinically and personally, when a person starts to feel a little bit drifting, a little bit overwhelmed by life, a little bit empty, it's because that they've lost touch with their personal sense of mission. Our personal sense of meaning in life comes from our sense of mission, that we're here for a purpose, that God has given us a driving trajectory to be traveling in and a mission to accomplish in this life. And when we lose sense of that mission, automatically we start to feel a little bit meaningless, and everything in our lives tends to suffer as a result.
So what you're really saying then, I guess, is that when we lose that sense of mission, we end up just sort of going through the motions. We feel like it's just one task after the other until we fall into bed at night.
Right. And it's only a matter of time before that process breaks us, right? Because we can use the momentum of when we remembered mission to be, as you described, kind of going through the motions of life. But eventually that's going to break us. And we're not going to maybe have a full midlife crisis, but we are going to have like a mini crisis, and it is going to be exhausting to us, and we're going to begin to resent those sources that we feel are at the core of that repetition, be it the kids who constantly make me do the same things and now, or the spouse or the job, whatever it is. You know, once I lose that sense of mission, and by extension that sense of personal meaning, I start to resent the people that I feel like are making me do meaningless tasks.
So in the time that we've got left, how do we begin to get that sense of mission when we've lost sight of it?
Ironically, I talk to people all the time who struggle to find their mission. But in truth, even though this tends to push people aside, you know, with the resentment that they're making us do these tasks, our mission isn't actually something we have to go and seek out. It's all around us. this, I think, is what Jesus meant with his emphasis on the idea of neighbor, which means we have to look at the people God has put in our own lives to find our personal mission. These are the people that God's entrusted to you to care for, to pray for, to honor the dignity of, right? Perhaps your mission field is your unique children or your spouse or even your unique friends or parishioners, you know, fellow parishioners. Remember, there's already a patron saint, I often say, of Ireland. And there's already a patron saint to Calcutta. But you were chosen to be the patron saint to your family specifically. These people who we'd be tempted to push away because of the resentment of the monotony are actually the very people who we have been called to be the patron saints to, so to speak. And they're the very people who, by their relationships with us and by the works of service we do towards them, give us our unique mission and, by extension, the meaning that will fuel every action we could possibly undertake.
Jacob Popchak, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. And if folks would like to learn more about his good work, you can go to CatholicCounselors.com. You can also check out his latest illustrated book, God the Father and the Best Day Ever. Jacob, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, guys.
And we are taking your calls, folks, about the struggle to hold on to or get back that sense of meaning and motivation when you're feeling burned out, run down, or tired of dealing with a particular person or situation, especially as we kick off the week. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Will help you not just get that sense of motivation and meaning back, we'll help you find the next steps to identifying a resolution to that thing that's driving you crazy. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue. We'll hear questions, comments, and insights on the other side of the break. Stick around.
Does unity in the church eliminate diversity? No, says the Catholic Catechism. From the beginning, the Catholic Church has been marked by great diversity. Diversity in God's gifts. Diversity in the multiplicity of cultures and people who are its members. There is even diversity in its particular churches who maintain their own traditions. The Catechism asserts this is not a threat to the church's unity. Sin, however, and its consequences are a constant threat to unity. The number one bond of unity is charity, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. There are also visible bonds of unity: profession of one faith, common celebration of divine worship, especially the sacraments and apostolic succession through the sacrament of holy orders. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer, to be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine, but ultimately what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. New parents all have the same question. How do we get this new baby that we just made grow up to be a child who loves God? The answer lies in you. A child's capacity to trust God is learned at a very early age and is modeled after her ability to trust you. Little things such as how long your child cries before you respond to her could impact the degree to which your child is capable of trusting God and others later. If you're worried about your child's spiritual formation, remember that holiness and a love for God is learned first at home. What can you do today to demonstrate the love of God for your child? Well, you could dive a little deeper into self-donation. The little decisions you make now will have a lasting impact on how much your child trusts and loves God in the future. For more Catholic parenting tips, visit moretolifradio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today's show is titled, What Does It Mean? As we talk about the struggle to hold on to or get back that sense of meaning or motivation. Do you feel like you've been going through the motions lately? Maybe you're feeling a little burned out, run down, or tired of dealing with a particular person or relationship or situation. We want to help you get your motivation back and also find a way forward so that maybe it doesn't have to bother you so much moving forward. 877-573-7825.
We're talking right now with Jill in Ohio.
Hi, Jill. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's
up? My question is, I have been caring for a family member for years, and I'm really the only family member that steps forward.
And this family member is a parent or who?
Yes, parent.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
My mother.
Okay.
And she's had a very difficult situation with health issues for years. And she becomes very needy, very demanding, and not really grateful for a lot that's done for her. And she'll go through different bouts with her health, and she'll get better, but then she doesn't do anything to help herself.
Okay.
And yet becomes more needy of others instead of trying to help herself to grow. And she's not really a very positive person. Mm-hmm. It really drags me down. It really, I feel guilty when I set boundaries. I feel that, you know.
Well, and what's that about? I mean, talk to me about that. What makes you feel guilty? Is it the way you set the boundary or the fact that you're setting the boundary at all?
The fact that I'm setting the boundary. Because I feel like it's a fine line between I'm the only one.
You know what, Jill, you broke up there, and I couldn't hear any of that answer. Could you
try it one more time? It was perfectly clear, and then something broke up your cell connection.
Try it again.
Okay. I feel that it's setting the boundary.
Okay, so just setting the boundary at all. Not even. It's not that you get like angry and set the boundary in anger. It's just telling her no at all makes you feel good.
I do get angry. I do get because there's never a thankfulness. There's always a push to do more, and I understand that's her. That's not me. But I just feel angry that why would my mother be pushing like this? Why is she not more responsible for herself instead of pushing others to take up for her needs?
And Jill, that's an interesting question because you seem a little surprised by it. Has she always been this temperament, this kind of edgy, not grateful kind of parent, or has this come with illness and old age?
She's always been that way, but it's really...
the discomfort's ratcheting it up, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Last question. Do you have kids at home that you have to attend to or other?
No,
other...
my children are grown up.
Okay. And in terms of work and all that, I mean, is caring for your mom getting in the way of other primary responsibilities that God has kind of given
you? It did for a while. And I didn't let it happen anymore. I backed off.
Good. Okay. So you've set those boundaries that... Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So let me give you.
She was resistant to get help,
uh-huh.
And then when I set the boundaries, you know, she would get very angry with me because I wasn't doing it needed. And then when I set the boundaries, then I would start questioning, "What are you wanting from me, Lord? Should I be helping her? Doing the right thing? Am I not?
All right, let me give you some tips here to take to prayer and that I think will help clarify your way forward with this. All right, so caring for an elderly parent is always difficult. It's always draining to some degree. It's hard to see somebody that you love suffering. And if you add to that the fact that they're not grateful for what you're doing and are actually less than grateful, you know, even hostile about it, that makes it all the worse. But there are some things to keep in mind in trying to do this. I would say... I'm going to say three things. I reserve the right to amend that. So, number one, as we said, burnout comes from effort minus meaning, right? So the first step is reminding yourself, why did I choose to do this in the first place? You know, why is this important to me? You know, no, she's not grateful. Yes, she's always been cantankerous. No, she's never really been the mom that I, you know, the emotionally affirming mom I wanted her to be. But in spite of all that, I've chosen to do this because I believe what? Hold on to that. So remind yourself of the meaning of this. Why is this important to you? Why do you feel that God has put you in the place to do this work right now? And what are you hoping to get out of it for yourself? Not just what are you doing for her, but if you look back and you see, you know, how have you grown in taking care of your mom? Sometimes we grow because of other people. Sometimes we grow in spite of other people. And this might be one of those cases where you're growing in spite of her. But try to look at what has this pulled out of you? And how has it helped you be a better person in some way? Not just better in the sense of, I guess I'm a better person. But you know, really, you know, has it made you more generous, more understanding, more stronger in some ways? You know, what are those qualities that this experience of caring for your mother has brought out of you? That's number one, really reconnecting with the meaning behind doing this, right? Number two, the second part of burnout is that even when we have retained that sense of meaning, sometimes we approach the task in a way that undermines our dignity or even the dignity of the person that we're serving. And what I mean by that is, you know, in this case, for example, we can be tempted to try to be all things to that elderly parent. You know, nobody else in the family is stepping up. They don't want any support from, for example, a visiting nurse or something. And so the expectation, at least the implied expectation, is I'm supposed to do it all. Well, I can't do it all. That's not realistic. It's not reasonable to expect me to do it all. It's not reasonable for me to expect myself to do it all. God doesn't expect me to do it all because He created me as a limited human being who needs support from others. Right?
And He also really loves helping us and joining us with people who can help us because He wants us to be in community with each other and with Him. So it's not a fault to need Him and to need others. It's not at all. It's how we were created.
So to kind of address that second point, you need to be very clear in your own head about what you can do and what you cannot do. And when I say can, I don't mean in some abstract, idealistic universe where you have all the energy and all the resources and all the whatever.
Even, if I may throw in here, what you can do up until the point where you're hospitalized yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's your drawing the line point. Well, of course I can do it. I'm not dead yet.
Yeah,
it's not what God is asking of you.
No, I'm asking, you know, what is it that you can do while still giving your primary responsibilities all the attention that they deserve, whether that's your work in your case or in other people's cases, maybe their kids or their own, you know, their own household. You know, we
that's your own physical health
as well. Physical health, that's right.
If you're depleting yourself so much that you can't get some fresh air every day, can't get a little bit of exercise, can't get some downtime to pursue something that gives you a sense of growth and joy, then you're depleting yourself so much that eventually your sacrifice for your mother won't even be able to be done because you'll be so depleted, you'll be so burnt out, it just won't be there for you.
So you have every right to set boundaries that protect your health and well-being and your ability to attend to the primary responsibilities God has given you, which would most likely be your work and your household. Right? Those things have to come first. And you have a right to protect those things. So there's no reason to feel you will feel guilty, but you don't have any reason to feel guilty, not rationally. And frankly, the guilt that comes from setting those boundaries that protect your health and your household or the primary responsibilities God has given you, those are what we would call desolations. They're temptations from Satan that try to wear you out so that you won't be able to take care of your mother in a way that actually builds you up and builds her up, but it will cause you to, you know, it's like if in Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, if the elder demon was writing to the younger demon and giving him advice, he would say, you know, if Jill has to do good things and take care of her mother, let her do it in a way that burns her out and makes her resentful about it.
Well, and that's why you can really take a look at, as Greg was saying, you will feel guilty. Sure you will, because it's how your mind's been wired over all this time. But then you can stop and take a pause and say, this kind of guilt is a lie. It's not guilt that's pushing me toward more meaningfulness, a closer relationship with my mother, a closer relationship with God or others. It's just depleting me. It's just something Satan's using in my life. So what do I need to do in this moment to feel a sense of equilibrium, to feel a sense of meaning? What's one small step I can take right now that makes me feel closer to God and more of who I want to be?
Yeah, which is really the third step here. So that third step in addressing burnout is, how do I approach this in a way that respects my health and well-being and the priorities God has given me and works for the good of the other person? And in this case, you know, working for the good of the other person sometimes means saying no to mom, because there are certain things she can do for herself and would be good for her to do for herself. And you have a right then to say, you know, mom, that's something you can do for yourself and it would be healthy for you to do it. So I need to kind of step back and let you figure out how to do that. And if she says, no, I'm not going to do it, or I can't do it, and how
I'm
dare
so
you,
overwhelmed.
You say, I'm really sorry you feel that way, mom, but I know you can do it, so I can't step in there. And that's exactly, by the way, what God does with us. Right? God is all powerful. He can just make everything happen for us.
And boy, do we wish he would.
We do. But there are things that we can do and have to do on our own power, and it would be crippling for God to just step in and fix it all for us. He's given us the abilities and the gifts to do those things that need to be done, and then he comes in and fills in the gaps for the stuff that we can't do for ourselves. In the same way, you know, when you're attending to your mom, you do those things that fill in the gaps and do the things that she can't do. But you have to step back and give her the opportunity to do those things that she can do for herself, even when she doesn't want to, even when she complains about it. Because if you step in and do those things, you actually work to her detriment and make her a more selfish person. And that's not what God wants.
The other thing I'm going to suggest here, Jill, and this is a little off the path of like the guilt thing, but there's underneath all this, I'm guessing, being an adult child myself, that there's something about the fact that she's such a complainer and so ungrateful that's making you feel less than edified as her daughter. You're thinking, why can't she approve of me? Why can't she see this? Why doesn't she love me enough to acknowledge this? But you're saying this is sort of a lifelong personality trait of hers. So one of the things I'd like you to do is start keeping a little journal every day of the things that you do during the day for her. You called her today. You picked up her laundry. You did what? And then give yourself props for that. Treat yourself to a little something when you see it. Be able to see that you worked for someone's good even when you weren't immediately rewarded for it.
And building on Lisa's suggestion, I'd like you to go to the Blessed Mother.
Yes.
And I'd like you to say, you know, Blessed Mother, my mom has never been the mom that I needed. She's never loved me the way I deserved to be loved or appreciated me for the way I really needed to be appreciated. Can you please hold me in your arms and bring me to your son and fill me with the love that comes from living in God's grace, because I really need to have your arms around me right now.
And please, you know, ask your son to let me know that somehow I am serving him through all of this. So I offer all of these sacrifices that I make for my mother, that I'm not getting anything emotionally from what I need from her through this, and let him know that I'm doing it for him as a consolation to him. That will really begin to bring more meaning into this, instead of being in that place of constant longing. If we all feel this way at some point, we feel like dogs who, if we just do one more trick, we'll get the biscuit, you know, and it doesn't work with some people, even sometimes our parents, because they're just not capable of being the kind of person we need them to be. But God is. And when we bring all that we do to him and say, Lord, let it be for you, then it can change everything and bring meaning as well. So meditate on that a bit.
Jill, thank you so much for the call. Thanks for being willing to step up to take care of your mom,
yes.
who, even though she's not the most generous or loving person, but please do take these suggestions to heart and be empowered to set those boundaries that you need to set and get that love and support from the Blessed Mother who loves you so much and who wants to bring you to her son and have him hold you in his arms through this challenging time. And let go of that guilt that comes from setting those healthy boundaries for protecting your health and well-being and the priorities that God has given you primary control over. Thanks again for the call, Jill. And if there's more we can do for you, check out the resources we have at CatholicCounselors.com, including our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts.
Making you might peace be able to relate people. To that title a little bit.
Again, it's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts. We also have several videos on setting boundaries. If you check out the Life and Work channel on the video tab on CatholicCounselors.com, you can check out additional resources to set those healthy boundaries.
And all of those videos are completely free and open to everyone.
That's right. Check it out. With that, we got to go to break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about dealing with those people or situations that are causing you to feel run down, burned out, or just tired of dealing with it. Let us help you regain your sense of meaning and motivation and identify the steps you can take to move forward in confidence and joy, and even some effectiveness. How about that? 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day that comes to us from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9.
Well, I think the Holy Spirit kind of put this scripture in our path specifically for Jill, but I'm sure a lot of our listeners will relate to it. Let us not grow tired of doing good, for in due time we shall reap our harvest, if we do not give up, Galatians 6:9. And I think we need to realize that it's not just doing good, though, in a monotonous kind of way. It means doing good with a right goodwill, with a good heart. And if you're having a hard time finding that right goodwill and a good heart today, that's what we're doing this show on. That's what we're here for. So you can give us a call at 877-573-7825. But let's look at that scripture one more time before we go to break. Let us not grow tired of doing good, for in due time we shall reap our harvest if we do not give up.
Good words to go out to break on. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us about those people or situations that are causing you to feel a little burned out. We'll help you get your motivation back. Stick around for more to life after the break.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, then follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and our show today is titled, What Does It Mean? As we talk about the struggle to find meaning in our life and relationships and fight back against the burnout that comes when our effort seems meaningless and pointless and frustrating. How do we get that motivation back and find a way forward that leads to joy and a positive resolution to those challenging problems? Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Jean in Iowa.
Hey, Jean, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Yes, I've just gone through a death, my husband. He had chronic illness for many years, but the last 2 years were very demanded. I was glad to give demanded, but it needed intense care in the last 60 days. It was day and night and what have you. And he died the 26th of June. Are you there?
Yes,
we're right here and listening. Go on.
Yeah, okay. Hospice at the time towards the end could see that something I wasn't willing to admit, that I needed respite care. So he went into a care center for 30 days. It was actually supposed to be 5 to 10 days. And I realized, just like this woman before, that I had nothing left. I was operating on pure adrenaline. And
sure.
I was killing myself, and I could not do what he needed, and that's what I kept telling him. I knew he was dying, and I went, you won't go through that when he did die. You have that horrible aching and emptiness in there, and the fact that things have changed radically. I'm very comforted by the fact that Father at his funeral said, when I talked to Duane, I have never heard a person talk about Jesus in such an intimate way. And so I know, you know, that where he is. But the circumstances with the COVID and having to say to him, I no longer, you need more care than sure. I can give you now. And then working with the nursing care center and saying, he's dying, and they moved him twice. So I went through, after the initial grieving, I went through this anger stuff. And about
Gina, I hate to jump in, but I need to, they're giving us a two-minute warning here. So is there a particular thing that we can help you with today?
Well, yeah, I went from that to insight and prayer that Jesus said, you know, I gave you to each other 63 years ago. I want you to give him back to me. And with that, there was a healing. And I'm wondering if I prematurely stopped it, or because people will say, well, distance. Do you feel him closer? And I don't have those feelings anymore. It's like just a sense of it's finished. And am I stopping my grieving? Where should I go with this?
Well, Jean, so it sounds like what you're saying is that you gave him back to Jesus, and that you experienced a sense of peace in giving him to our Lord. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, exactly.
And that's I think, you know, the proof is in the pudding. When it comes to grieving, there's no right way to do it. There's no one way to do it. We all have to find our own way through that process. I would say that generally speaking, grieving is not the process so much of letting go as much as it is a way of staying connected to the person that we've lost. But I think that, you know, there's a certain irony here in that in letting him go, you found a way to stay more connected to him. Because we as Christians know that those who sleep in Christ are in many ways more alive than we are, because they are closer to God than we are. And so your husband, Duane, is very much alive in Christ and very much present to you. And so the first step in connecting to him in that way is realizing that you, it's not your job to keep him alive in your memory as much as it is your job to relate to him in relationship with Christ, and to know that He is alive in Christ and He is loving you and praying for you from heaven, and that you can talk to Him just like you talk to the saints, and that you can, you know, ask Him for His prayers and to bring your intentions to God, and you can build that connection from there. So no, I don't think you've stopped your grieving process. I think you're in the process of that grieving process by finding more ways to stay connected to Him even though He is now gone.
And the sense of lifting and release you feel is really a gift of the Holy Spirit right now, saying, well done, my faithful servant. You got Him to me. You're here in this place now because you can rest a little bit in this moment before your life moves on. So you're in a good place. Stay connected to God just the way He did, your husband did, and you'll get through this with God's grace.
Jane, we certainly thank you for your call. We thank you for your ministry to your husband, and we will certainly lift up you and the repose of Dwayne's soul in our prayers as well. Thanks for the call. That's all the time we've got for today's program. Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us. And if we can help you in any way find your sense of motivation and meaning and identify those next steps to resolving the challenges that are wearing you down, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com and check out all the resources we mentioned on today's program, including the book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, the videos that we have on our video channel at CatholicCounselors.com. And if you need more personal support, learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. That's all at CatholicCounselors.com.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.